tonight. If you believe you can do all things through Christ, put your hands together. I believe that. I love that scriptural truth. I call it the 10-finger prayer. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's a good prayer. Believe it. Trust God today. And just in these weeks that we're together, we are focusing our attention on really my favorite subject. My favorite subject to talk about is Jesus. I love Jesus. And so we're focusing on various stories from Jesus' life. And the series is called Jesus on Snapchat, because people on Snapchat or social media take various pictures or videos and they show little parts of their lives. And have you noticed something? That since we have phones that take pictures, there's a lot more pictures being taken. Have you noticed? Like, this week, Mama D and I were in New York City, and we were in Times Square. And in Times Square, let me just tell you, there's a lot of tourists. It's like wall-to-wall tourists. And they're taking pictures because they want to make sure they remember. And today, when people take pictures, for one pose, they'll take 5 or 6 shots to make sure they get the good one, make sure everyone's eyes are open. And we went out to the Statue of Liberty because we were with my youngest brother, and he'd never been there. And it was a rainy day. It really wasn't a nice day. But tourists were out there. Guess what they were doing? In the rain. Because some of them, that's the only time they'll ever be to the Statue of Liberty, and they want to capture the moment because it's important. Now, do you remember, or some of you, this would be maybe news to you, there was a time before digital photographs? How many remember paper pictures? How many remember opening your camera and putting stuff in so you could take pictures? So my first trip overseas, that's the kind of camera I went with. And you were very careful, the pictures you took, because you only had like 24. It wasn't like 100 pictures or 5,000. It was 24 pictures you got on. And so you would like, is this the camel I want? Or does that one look a little better? And you didn't know if it was a good picture till you got home. You'd be out, you'd take it. And there was a time before you'd open the cameras. You ever seen an old-fashioned camera with the long nose? And they would take like one picture. They'd like be one picture. There wasn't like 20, one picture. And you had to stand very still to get the picture. Because it was exposed for so long, and they were careful with the pictures they took, and there wasn't many of them. And there was a time even before cameras with long noses where to capture an event, people had to write it down or paint a picture to capture an event. And that's what we have in the Bible. We have stories that God thought were so important that he wrote them down for us. And so the stories we have about Jesus are the ones that are very important. And today we're looking at some stories about Jesus where he was around people who were blind and he opened their eyes. And there's several stories in the Bible about that, because God must have thought it was important that we know that Jesus can open blind eyes. And that's not just true for people who have physical blindness, that's true for you. Because the greatest miracle of all is not just opening up physical eyes, the greatest thing that God can do is open up spiritual eyes to visions and to new possibilities. And I promise you today that God would like you to see some new stuff this week. Well, not only this week. He'd like to see some new stuff today. He'd like there to be what the Bible calls a spirit of revelation, where God will show you stuff. How many are ready for God to show you some stuff? Some stuff you haven't seen yet. Like, I've been serving the Lord for a lot of years, but I am ready today for God to show me some stuff, to open my eyes in a new way. So when I walk out of this room, I will see things in a new light. And so to apply the stories of three blind guys, we're going to look for some truth that we can apply to our lives. We're going to look at a man that was healed at Bethsaida. We're going to look at a man called Bartimaeus that was healed. And then we're going to look at the man who Jesus healed with mud in his eye. Here's mud in your eye. That's what Jesus, no, it's not in the Bible. No, it's not in the Bible, but here's some truth. And I would like God to give us a spirit of revelation. Because the way you're looking at life is shaping the way you think. And the way you think is shaping the way you act. So it's so important how you see life. And the first thing I want to talk about at seeing life with a new openness is that we have to overcome our limiting beliefs in order for God to open up our eyes in a new way. Every one of us carries some limiting beliefs. And a limiting belief is a belief that limits you. I know that's profound. I know some of you are writing that down right now. That's why a limiting belief is a belief that limits you. And there have been various limiting beliefs. You know, they used to believe the world was flat and you could fall off the edge, and that limited travel significantly. Because they want to go too far. Because that was a limiting belief. In the 15th, 16th, and early 17th century, there was a phenomenon where people began to believe that their physical being, their bodies, were fragile like glass. And it's a literal phenomenon that swept society called the glass delusion. So they were afraid. In fact, one man documented, medical report, 1561, he would not go to the restroom and sit down. It's in the medical. It's medical. Because he was afraid of his glass body shattering. So he just stood up. And not just common people. The king of France. No, I know you say that's the French. But it's the king of France. Charles VI, the king of France, wouldn't let anybody touch him because he had this thought that if you shook his arm, it could break off like a piece of glass. And you go, come on, Scott, that's a delusion. That's a belief that's limiting. But what about the ones you have? Like, I can't fully love people because if I love them fully, my heart will be broken. That's a limiting belief. I can't ask for the things I want because maybe I'll be rejected. That's a limiting belief. I can't dream big dreams because what happens if I don't attain those dreams? That's a limiting belief. I can't aspire to X because of Y. I can't do A because of B. Whatever it is, it's a limiting belief. And I believe in Bethsaida, there is a limiting belief in the story of the healing of this blind man. Here's how the story goes. Jesus came to a place called Bethsaida in Mark 8 and 22. And notice this fact, just as you're studying with us today. They brought a blind man to Jesus. So the blind man did not come to Jesus. Some friends said, hey, Jesus is in town, and we'd like to bring you to him. Now, if you know anything about Bethsaida, it's a place where Jesus did a lot of miracles. And so the people in Bethsaida got used to, when Jesus is in town, it's like, what's he going to do now? Okay, well, we want Jesus to do something miraculous. And they would say, what? It was like literally to them was like the circus coming to town. Okay, Jesus is here. Now, he didn't change their lives. They didn't follow Jesus. They just wanted a good show. So they brought this blind man to Jesus and said, okay, Jesus, do something. Show us one of your miracles. We're ready, God. You're back in town. We want the Lord to do something great. Come on. Here's a blind guy. Now notice what Jesus did with this guy. He took him by the hand, verse 23. And where did he take him? Can you see there? He took him out of town. Now, he could have done a miracle in town, because he can do that, but he specifically took this man out of town, and then he spit on his eyes, because it was thought that spit would be part of healing, and so he was letting this blind guy know, hey, I'm about to heal you. He spit on his eyes, he put his hands on him, and he asked him, do you see anything? So he took him out of town, took him by the hand, let's get away from the crowd. Let's get away from the people that even brought you here. Let's go out of town. And he spits in his eyes and says, can you see anything? And the man's answer is fascinating, because the man doesn't have a full healing. He's like partially healed. And the man says in verse 24, I kind of see like trees walking around. And I know that couldn't be trees, because trees don't walk. So it must be people. I see people walking around that look like trees. Now, how many would agree that was not a completed miracle? So what was the issue? Was Jesus having a bad day? Did he not have his morning coffee? Like, how come when Jesus was ministering healing, the guy only went part way? Well, there's three factors. Whenever you pray for a miracle, there's three factors. There's God's power. There is the faith of the person. And there is the timing of God. Those are three factors that are absolutely part of every miraculous work of God. Now, in this story, we know that the power of God was present because Jesus was there. And anytime Jesus is there, the power of God is there. That's why when we pray for people, we pray in the name of Jesus, because that's part of the power of God. We know from the story that this was the time for the man to be healed. It was his time. What was happening was, this man woke up in the morning, he wasn't even thinking about being healed. His friends came to his house and said, hey, come with us, come to Jesus. We want to see if Jesus will do something. He doesn't even really know. He comes out of the city, someone spits in his eyes and say, what do you see? He doesn't have the faith. He has a limiting belief inside of him that's not ready to go all the way. And so Jesus continues, and it's good. Sometimes when you pray for people, sometimes God will do a little bit, and you need to keep praying for them. That's okay, because Jesus did that in verse 25. So Jesus prayed again. He laid hands on him again, and he prayed again. He ministered to him again. And then he said, okay, how are things looking now? He said, hey, the trees have shoes, or probably not shoes, sandals. And the trees are like, I can see them clearly. Now watch verse 26, very important verse in studying this passage. And he sent him away, and watch the direction he gives to the man. Can you see this? Don't go back into the town. That's interesting. He took him outside the town to heal him. And then when he was healed, he said, don't go back there. Why? Because Bethsaida was one of the places that Jesus actually judged. Watch this. Maybe this will help us to understand it. Matthew 21, Jesus speaks about this community, Bethsaida, where this man is from. Matthew chapter 11, verse 21. Woe, he's talking about this place this guy was from, to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles that were performed in you, and Jesus did a lot of miracles there, if they had been done in Tyre and Sidon, those people would have repented and given their hearts to God and followed, but you're not doing that. All you want is just the show, but no go. Now notice this. Because this man had to overcome a limiting belief, and then Jesus doesn't want to send him back into that place that's filled with unbelief. And let me tell the application for you and me. There are some places that you should avoid. Because all of us are surrounded by people, and all of us have some limiting beliefs. They were given to us by our parents. They were given to us by a professor. They were given to us by a book that we read. All of us have them. And we need to overcome those limiting beliefs to open up a brand new world. And then Jesus says, and then I don't want you to go back and hang out with those people, because those people are not good for you. Because he got up when he was healed. And Jesus said, don't go back into that town. Don't go back there. Now, let me ask you this question. There's a crowd of people around you, friends, acquaintances, work people. Are those people nurturing your limiting beliefs? Or are they helping you to overcome your limiting beliefs? That's a good question to ask. Because there are certain places you shouldn't go, and there are certain people you shouldn't hang out with, because they are not good for your soul. And if you want to see things in a brand new way, you've got to overcome your limiting belief, or you'll be looking at a bunch of trees for the rest of your days. So be careful about the voices of the people around you. Let me expand on that in the next story of a guy named Bartimaeus, also blind. Also blind, he would sit by the road that was going by Jericho, in and out of Jericho, and because there was no social system to help people that were challenged, physically challenged, he was a beggar. As a profession, he was a beggar, and so every day he sat by the road and he asked for people to help him. He would hear people come by, because he was blind, he couldn't see them. Hey, can you help me? Alms! Alms for the poor! Hey, how about some help? I'm blind here. Alms for the poor! And then while he's there, he hears a crowd of people coming down the road, and he goes, whoa, there's a lot of people coming down the road. I wonder what's going on, because a lot of people could mean a lot of donations, right? Where there's crowds of people, just that's where people want to ask for help. Just go to Times Square. They're all there. They're there right there. I'll just tell you, they're there. A lot of people. So a lot of people. And they said, well, the crowd that is coming down the road are people that are coming into town with Jesus of Nazareth. Now watch this. Verse 47 of Mark 10. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was real, he changed his tune. He changed from asking for money to asking for mercy, because mercy is better than money. What's he said? He is desperate. The first guy didn't have much desperation. This guy's desperate to be healed. He has the faith to be healed. He just yelled, Jesus! Son of David! Jesus! Over here! Bart, over here! Son of David, have mercy on me! I really don't think this guy had a limiting belief. He's not like the first guy. He's past that one. And that's the one you need to get back. That's probably the biggest one you need to get over, your own limiting beliefs. But then, as soon as you get over your limiting beliefs to see things in a brand new way, there's going to be a group of people around you, and they're going to be going, oh, don't be so wild about your faith. And what happens? Verse 48, the crowd, the people around him, rebuked him. While he's asking for help, for mercy, they say, oh, be quiet. You are messing things up. This is the Jesus parade right now. We're going into town here, and you should shut up. I would say that these people had a limiting belief. The crowd around this blind guy had a limited. They were not expecting mercy to come to him that day. Otherwise, they would have said, hey, I keep asking, let's see what happens. They surrounded that man with their limiting beliefs. And let me ask you again, what is the crowd around you saying to you? That's never going to happen. Don't dream that big. Don't try. If you try, you may fail. I love this guy. They told him to be quiet. I love this part. But he shouted all the more. The more they loaded doubt on him, the more he raised his voice. The more they said, be quiet, the more he raised his voice. Because this was his day to receive his miracle. Jesus! I'm what he's going to tell you right now. Some of you would receive more if you believed more. Oh, but the people around me say, I can't be so. Jesus! Where are you? I can hear you, but I can't see you. Jesus! Oh, just don't disturb things. Don't rock things. No! Today's my day. Jesus on my road. The power was there. His faith was there. He just didn't know if the timing was right, but the timing was right. Because Jesus heals him. He takes off his beggar's robe. Jesus says, come here. And here's what Jesus says. Watch what Jesus says to him. Your faith has healed you. He didn't have a limiting belief. He was filled with faith. And I'm encouraging you, me, all of us, to be filled with faith, to shake off limiting beliefs, and then don't let the people around you give you their limiting beliefs, because people with limiting beliefs love to share them. They love to share them. Don't let that happen. Your faith has healed you. And instantly the man could see and watch this, and he followed Jesus down the road. You are either going to follow Jesus down the road, or you're going to be stuck with the unbelieving crowd. Where are you? Where are you? Hanging out with your old friends, telling you all the things that won't happen. You could choose a new path. You could choose a new destiny. You could choose a new road. This could be the day that you follow Jesus down the road and step into a new light, a new way of seeing things, a new spirit of wisdom, and a new spirit of revelation, because that's what God would like to do to you today. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. Why? Because Jesus is in the house. The power of God's in the house. The timing is right. This is what we're talking about. This is the timing. The determining factor will be your limiting beliefs, your faith, and what the voices you're listening to and believing right now. So I'm just encouraging you to shed limiting beliefs inside yourself, to shed the limiting beliefs of the people around you, and to step into a new light. And how amazing it must have been for Bart when his eyes opened up and he could see color and see light and see the face of Jesus. That must have been amazing. And I want to talk to you about opening our eyes to this new place that God is calling us to see things in your life, not by the light of this world. Listen to me carefully. Not by the light of this world, but the light of the world. And there's a difference. I don't want you to see the world through the light of the world, the way they see things, the light of the world, the light the world gives. But I want you to see by the light of the world. And who said to us, I am the light of the world? Was Jesus. Jesus is a source of light that the world can't touch. There's a world system that will leave you in shadows and darkness. But when Jesus steps on the scene, it's a whole new light. Verse 5, and do you know where he said this? He said it in John chapter 9, and he was in the midst of healing a blind guy. When he said, I'm the light of the world, he was in the midst of healing one of the blind guys. a man who had been born blind. In fact, Jesus and his disciples were walking by this man in verse 9. You can look at it in your Bible. And they saw this man that was blind. He's not even asking to be healed. But a discussion comes up. And they say, Jesus, this man who's been blind all of his life, did he commit some sin that he's blind? Or did his parents, because he's been blind since birth, did his parents commit some sin that has left him blind? Because they believed, and it's a universal law, and it's true, that actions produce consequences. What you sow is what you reap. And bad things done by bad people produce bad results. Does anybody know anybody that that's happened to? Bad people that do bad things create bad results. And there's a universal law. And the only thing that interrupts that universal law is grace. Grace breaks that cycle. I've done some bad things, and I've been cleared of the consequences of those bad things because the light of the world has showed up in my life. I'm just going to tell you that, and I thank God for that. And Jesus says, oh, no, it wasn't him. It wasn't his parents. Because we know that sometimes bad things happen to bad people. We know that. But what about this one? What happens when bad things happen to good people? Does anybody know someone like that? They're good. Things are going good. This man was innocent. He simply was born, and he was born blind. He hadn't done anything. And if you are a good person that something bad has happened to, here's the words of Jesus, this is going to end up glorifying God. And I'm telling that to you right now. If there's something bad that's happened to you in the midst of your goodness, God is going to bring goodness out of it. He's going to bring his grace out of it. He's going to bring glory out of it. That's what he does with this man. Okay, this is for the glory of God, he says. A bad thing happened to a good person. He didn't do anything wrong. And now I'm going to heal him for the glory of God. And he spit into the dirt. And he made some mud, and he put it in the guy's eye and said, now go wash off your eyes in the pool of Siloam. So they had to lead him with these muddy eyes to the pool of Siloam. He had to get to the pool of Siloam. He had to wash the mud out of his eyes. And when the mud washed out of his eyes, he could see for the first time in his life. Can you say wow? No, like no. This is a wow. That was such an enthusiastic wow. I'm sure. I'm going, wow. You need the spirit of Bartimaeus. Jesus. wow. That was wow. You know. I tell when Jesus opens up blind eyes, it is a wow moment. I've seen blind eyes open up. I was an evangelist for years, traveling around telling people about Jesus. And I was preaching in Kansas. And we were praying for people to be healed. And people were coming by, and we prayed for a blind person. And they made their way around. They got to the back of the room and then started to shout at the top of their lungs, I can see. I can see. And they're yelling to us at the front, I can see. I mean, I got holy goosebumps. Come on up here, tell us. And they told their story, how they were blind. We prayed. By the time they got to the back of the room, and I was in the midst of just saying, this is one of the most amazing things I have ever seen in my life. And the Lord spoke to me and said, son, I'm about to do something greater. I was, hold on. The Lord is about to do something greater. And I was like, open up. What is it, Lord? This was cool. He said, there are people in this room who are in spiritual darkness, who are far away from God, and I'm about to bring them into the light. I said, okay, there's something greater that's going to happen. There are people in this room that are in spiritual darkness. You're far away from God. You've been doing your own thing, following your own path, your own agenda. And today, the light of the world is going to come into you, and you're going to see things in a brand new way. How many of you are ready for that? And we're on 40 or 50 people said, that's me today. And they came up. And the God of the universe that spoke in the book of Genesis and said, let there be light, said into their souls, let there be light. Because that is a greater miracle than the physical opening of eyes. And that needs to happen to us, listen to this, on an ongoing basis. We need to encounter the light of the world. And he needs to show us stuff. There's stuff you're facing this week. And he wants to show you stuff. There's people you're dealing with this week, and he wants to show you stuff. And he wants to turn on the light. So don't let your limiting beliefs keep you from that light. Don't let other people keep you from that light. Step into that light today, because today is your day. Hallelujah. Amen. So, would you close your eyes for a moment as we pray together? And I'm going to lead in a prayer in just about a minute. A prayer that opens our heart to Jesus Christ. A prayer that says, I don't want to walk far away from God any longer. I want to follow Jesus like that blind Bartimaeus. I want to follow him. I want to do that with my life. And I'm going to lead in a prayer. And I would like you to be included in that prayer. My prayer is always for 100% of the people. I was up early this morning praying for you guys, praying for this gathering, saying, Lord, would you just do a miracle in people's lives? And the greatest miracle that ever takes place in this room is when people say yes to God. And I'm going to pray that you would say yes to God. As we pray this prayer, because the Bible says, believe in your heart. Believe in Jesus. He died on the cross to take away all your guilt, all your sin, all your shame. He rose on the third day to verify everything he taught and everything he did. And he's here right now knocking at your life's door. And all you have to do is open the door. So if you'd like to pray this prayer with me and be included in this prayer, I'm going to ask you to do two things. Put your hand up high enough for me to see it, and then hold it up there until we make eye contact. So raise your eyes, only the people that are praying, and raise your hand, and we're going to pray together in Jesus' name. Let me see your eyes. Not just your hand, I want to see your eyes. I want to acknowledge you in Jesus' name. Young man, I see you. I'm glad you're praying with me today. Young, I see you right there. I acknowledge you. We're going to pray together. Right over here, I see you, dear friends. I'm so glad you're in church. So glad you're here today. We're going to pray together. Put your faith in Jesus. He's the one that changes lives. Let me just see your eyes, sir. Can I just, I want to just acknowledge you are valuable to God. And God is more interested in your future than he is in your past. This is a new day. Right over here, thank you. Just thanks for being here today. Jesus is going to do a miracle in your life. Jesus is going to do a miracle in your life right there. Jesus is going to do a miracle in your life right there. He is going to do that. Way over here, God's going to do a miracle in your life right here. Thank you. I'm so glad you're in church. I'm not going to embarrass you guys. God's going to do a miracle. God's going to do a miracle. I'm not going to embarrass you. But we're going to pray. And Jesus, who said, I'm the light of the world, is going to do some miraculous things in this room. And so I'm going to invite everyone, if you would stand with me, all of us together. We have a prayer team that's going to come to the altar, and I'm going to lead in a prayer, and I'd like everyone to pray this out loud, not just with your head, pray it from your heart, and lift your voice loud enough for your own ears to hear it. Everyone, please. Dear Heavenly Father, everyone together, please. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I open up my life to Jesus Christ. Come into me to be my Savior, to be my Lord, to be my light. I turn away from darkness. I repent of my sins. And I turn towards you, Lord, to receive your grace, your love, your forgiveness, your mercy. Do a new work inside of me. Create a new heart inside of me. Help me to follow Jesus every day of my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah, 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 amen. That's a beautiful prayer, a beautiful, beautiful prayer. Now, if you are making a fresh start with God today, we want to just help you. with some scripture and with some teaching, this little Now What booklet. We want to get it to you. Please come forward, talk to one of our prayer team and say, I'd like to get this booklet. They have one for you. Also, our prayer team is here to pray with everyone who has something in your heart that the Holy Spirit is saying, this is what you need prayer about. The Bible says, come to his house and it should be a house of prayer, not a house of entertainment, not just a house of teaching, a house of prayer. And so there's something that happens when we pray together in his house. So come and pray and let God do some things in your life. And while prayer ministry is going on and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are blessing people and moving at the altars, if you would like communion, just to remember Jesus on this day, there's a communion table on the right-hand side and on the left-hand side. And as you come, there'll be some bread. And from the cup of the Lord, just remember Jesus. Remember him. Remember he died on the cross and he rose on the third day. And he's with you right here in this moment. And just celebrate his presence. If you've been a guest here today, thank you so much for coming. We're going to continue this series. We'd love you to be a part of it. We're just emphasizing Jesus and the marvelous things he does. If you have been a guest here today, we'd like you to go to the VIP room before you leave us today. It's on your left-hand side. We have some gifts we'd like to give to you. You can get a copy of this message if you want to give it to somebody or listen to it again. They'll give it to you. I'm going to pray one more blessing just over everybody. And after that, there's no other benediction. You can come and pray, our team here. You can worship with the worship team. They're just going to lift up Jesus. You can go with the grace of God. But may you go following Jesus every step of your journey. And so I'm going to pray this prayer by opening my hands towards heaven. And if you'd like to receive this blessing, I'm going to ask you to just open your hands towards heaven. Close your eyes. We're not embarrassing anyone. This is a Bible-based way of praying. And we open our hands before you, Father. And my prayer is that everyone that's reaching out to you by faith right now would receive exactly what they need. Strength, encouragement, love, joy, peace. I pray for our prayer team as they minister to people in the name of Jesus. I pray that the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit will flow right here in this altar. Lives will be changed. I pray for people that are making a fresh start with God. Pray they get signed up at the Fresh Start Center for baptism. Even today, those I'm going to get baptized, and they'll go out and sign up today, God, to make that fresh start with you. I pray, God, for the communion. Bless the bread. Bless the cup of the Lord. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for rising from the dead. Thank you for the message of the cross and the open tomb. Now I pray that you would walk in the light and in the power of Christ. I pray that you would walk in the blessing of Christ's name, you would live in his name, love one another in his name, and that you would share his name with others. Thank you for inviting people to come to church with you so they can hear about Jesus Christ. We bless you, and we bless your friends in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, you are very blessed. And everybody says, amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, good to be together, guys. Love you so much. Come forward for prayer. Come forward for communion. Our worship team leads us as we look to the Lord. And God be with you.